I walked in here today with only one of my pants buttons buttoned. So the worst thing that could happen already has. Maybe gifted communicator, am not gifted at putting on clothes, it would seem. I wanted to begin our time together by reading about 40 different verses of scripture, and then I started my timer, and all my time was up. And so here are the verses that I would have read and that I encourage you to write down and meditate on in your own time. Exodus 20, Leviticus 19, Matthew 25, Luke 4, James 2, and 1 John 3. The topic of our time together today is going to be praying for the justice of God. And for so many of us, myself especially included, praying for justice is peripheral. If we get to it, it's after we've prayed for our kids and our jobs and our families and our neighborhoods and our crops and our livestock and all those other important things. But thankfully, justice is not peripheral to God. It is central. His voice on the matter is unified and echoes throughout Scripture, from the Mosaic Law to the major and minor prophets to the red letter words of Jesus himself and all the way through the epistles. And where we may dance around the issue of justice and social justice in our churches or our friend groups or on social media, God actually draws a clear line. And where we are silent or whisper on the matter, God shouts. In Exodus 20, Leviticus 19, Matthew 24, 25, Luke 4, James 2, 1 John 3, and everywhere in between, the word of God is clear. Pursue justice, constantly and at your own personal expense. Expel all traces of oppression, inequality, and prejudice from your midst. Honor the lives of the orphan, the widow, the immigrant, and the runaways and the poor, as much as you honor your own, or answer to me directly. For many of us, this truth, God's heart of justice at all times and in all places, is a source of deep comfort. And for many of us, it's a source of deep discomfort and incredible inconvenience. And I think if we look to the example of Scripture, it's supposed to be a bit of both. But okay, mercy, I get it. Justice is important to God, but this is 21 days of prayer and fasting, not 21 hours of yapping. So how do I actually pray for justice? What's really tricky about our prayers for justice is that when we pray for justice, we don't pray for the world as we envision it to be, or as we desire for it to be even. Because unfortunately, our desires for the world are so often more closely shaped by our TikTok algorithms, and our news sources, and our political parties, than they are by the word of God. And a prayer for justice is a prayer for the world as God intends for it to be, as he intends for it to be in the Garden of Eden, and as it will one day be in the new heaven and the new earth. And honestly, I don't think that I am always capable of praying for God's justice the way that I ought to, because my justice, I think, I would prefer a lot of the time to whatever God's justice is. It feels more comfortable and familiar to me. It always ties itself up in a really neat bow. And it's conveniently, in my head, encircled around the people that I like and excludes the people that I dislike. And thankfully, I'm not alone in that. In Scripture, we see constantly that people pursue justice through radically different means. Justice to Peter meant cutting off the ear of the soldier that came to arrest Jesus. Justice for Jesus meant healing that ear again. Justice for Jesus' disciples, the men who knew him best, who were surrounded by him for 3 years, knew every word he said, and saw his miracles firsthand, was Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a white horse, taking back power, expelling the Romans, and installing his reign on the earth as an earthly ruler. Justice to the Pharisees looked like a crucifixion. Justice to Jesus looked like a resurrection. And so I think that if we're wondering how to pray for justice, the best place to start is with God's will, not our own. I think that if you want to pray for justice, the example of Scripture is, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. And if I'm honest, standing before you, those words on my lips taste a lot like vinegar. Not my will for my money, but God's will be done. Not my will for Fort Collins, but God's will be done. Not my will for my neighborhood, but God's will be done. Not my will for Colorado, but God's will be done. Not my will for Congress, but God's will be done. Not my will for those who have wounded me deeply and have hurt those that I cherish. God's will be done. Not my will for the people who voted differently than me and will not stop posting about it on Facebook. God's will be done. And unfortunately, it only gets more uncomfortable from there, because praying for justice is inherently a two-step process. The first step is opening our mouths, and the second step is moving our feet. We can't just pray for God to feed the hungry. Unfortunately, we have to open our pantries and pull up an extra seat around our tables. We can't just pray for God to provide for the orphans. We have to foster and adopt them ourselves. We can't just pray for the immigrant to be welcomed in our midst. We have to actually welcome them ourselves. We can't just pray for the prisoner to be freed. We have to volunteer in prison ministries and halfway houses. We can't just pray for God to provide for the poor. We have to give our money to provide for the poor. Anything less is unfortunately empty words. Anything else is just belief. And it's faith without works. And unfortunately, as we see it throughout the Old Testament and the New, faith without works is dead. James 2 says that even the demons believe and tremble. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want the faith of a demon. I want the faith of God. I know that I'm talking about something that's heavy, that comes with a million different expectations, things that we've read on Twitter, things that we've posted ourselves. And I want to address the elephant in the room. Today is January 20th. It's the day that we honor our nation's history and the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the sins of our past as a nation, and the strides we've made. And it's the day that we inaugurate the 47th President of the United States. And I know that some of us have entered the room elated, floating on air, feeling like victory and rescue has finally come. And some of us feel like we've been standing on a frozen lake and the ice has finally cracked and pulled us underwater. Whether we come into this room elated or sorrowful, relieved or in agony, unfortunately and fortunately, our call is the same. None of us are exempt from justice. None of us are exempt from the command of God. If we approach Scripture with fear and trembling, if we believe in the God of the Old Testament and the New, the command is the same. Justice and praying for it and walking it out in our lives and our homes and our neighborhoods, unfortunately, isn't dependent upon which color our state turns or who is in the House or the Senate. It is the way that God's people are commanded to operate in the world. When they were pitching tents outside of Egypt, when they found the promised land, when they were under the oppression of Babylon, again when they were under the oppression of Rome, and again when the early church was experiencing the worst persecution imaginable, and again today. Regardless of government, regardless of circumstance, and regardless of political party, we are all commanded to pursue justice in prayer, in our hearts, in our homes, and in the world. Thank you for spending this time with me. We're going to transition into our time of individual prayer. Like Pastor Aaron said, please make yourselves at home in the room. It has been a joy to be with you. I'm going to close us with a quick prayer. Dear God, not our will, but your will be done. God, enact your will in the world in a way that hurts us, in a way that stretches us, in a way that molds us into the image of your Son and makes Northern Colorado and the world look a whole lot more like Eden. We thank you and we're grateful. Give us courage. In Jesus' name, amen.